Well, good morning, everyone. Great to have all of those of you who are guests. I am about to bring to you, in terms of timing at least, maybe the most important message I've brought in 27 years. I hope I have your ears. We may run 10 minutes over. If you've got somewhere to be, go. But I'm going to finish this message. Okay. Last week we noted, as we are closing in on the end of Hebrews 13, that the next text up was this one, Hebrews 13:9. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings. Stop right there. That is a refrain that runs all through the scriptures and especially through the New Testament. It just happened to pop up in the most timely way. I call your attention to the word from the pastor. All it takes to corrupt the truth and make it toxic is just a clever seasoning of lies. Stop. Here's milk. Looks good. Tastes like milk. A lot of milk there. Let's pretend. I have a friendly pharmacist who has given me, out of his or her secrets, a deadly drop by which many wives or husbands have succeeded in killing their spouses. Still looks like milk. Probably tastes like milk. So what's wrong with that? Nothing. Except the drop I put in there is deadly. It's lethal. It will kill. Back to the word from the pastor. All it takes to corrupt the truth and make it toxic is just a clever seasoning of lies. Truth matters. Error shatters. Be discerning or be deceived. And as we will see, a hallmark of the end times is a plethora, a multiplication of false prophets. So be on your guard. As your pastor, my role is twofold. To spread the light, but also to damn the darkness. To feed the sheep and to guard the sheep against wolfish predators. And I want to tell you, they are out there and they're in abundance. Who pervert the truth. God's servants, Old Testament and New, exemplify and they demonstrate redundantly that kind of pastoral care. And I'm not going to refuse my duty to do it. It's hard. I may offend some people. Wouldn't be the first time, but you've got to know my spirit. I love you and I care for you and a loving shepherd and not let you go on your merry way and be afraid to tell you the truth. I would rather die friendless than faithless any day. And I think most of you who've known me for 27 years know that. I do care who I offend. It hurts me to offend people. But I will offend you from daylight to dark over the truth. Even back in the days of Isaiah, I'm referring to chapter 8, verses 19 through 22. That prophet, 700 years approximately before Christ, he was contending with a surge of false prophets. Wasn't the first time in Israel. But he said this, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists, talking about occultic practices, people who whisper and mutter, this is the point. Should not a people inquire of their God? Consult God's instructions and testimony of warning. Then Isaiah says, and your pastor says, if anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. That is the key. The plumb line of the word, which is the plumb line of the Holy Spirit. At the present time in the Christian world, we face a whirlwind of threats to the health and well-being of the church. And in my personal opinion, the greatest threats to the church are not outside, though they are coming on fast. They are inside. They are inside. And I hope I get that across today. The most insidious danger to the health of our churches is mentioned right here in this text. The danger of being carried away by various and strange doctrines. Actually, that same warning is expanded all over the Bible and in particular in the New Testament. Before I go any further, I want to give you just a little taste. Because we are just so oblivious. Hillsong. That's glorious, right? Well, play the video. Oh, man, this is good. They are good. New York Hillsong. Christmas celebration. Silent night. Hang on.
Then
Now, if that's not profaning the sacred, I don't know what it is. And if as a Christian, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if that doesn't set your pants on fire, they're wet. You can go, same group, this time in New York, all over, big, huge. Some of their music is actually good. Some of their music. So what's wrong? That kind of stuff. It seduces your young people. Draws people in. You go on YouTube and look up Hillsong. Naked Cowboy. Yeah, that's right. Naked Cowboy. And you'll find something about like that, another extravaganza, where one of the team, he's not naked. He's in his underwear. When you're about pulling people in rather than building them up in Christ, and we've got a lot of smaller churches, much bigger than ours, right around here in other places, trying to imitate that stuff. A church in Atlanta, Buckhead, when Prince died, his stuff is filthy. They opened with Prince. I could go on and on. Do you see what I'm talking about? Okay, that's music. Well, who's a bit, gee, the list is longer than my arm. So let's go to Joyce Meyer. She's okay, right?
But here, listen, you've probably heard this before. Listen very carefully.
I am not poor, I am not miserable, and I am not a sinner. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is what I were, and if I still was, then Jesus died in vain. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I didn't stop sinning until I finally got it through my thick head. I wasn't a sinner anymore. And the religious world thinks that's heresy, and they want to hang you for it. But the Bible says that I'm righteous, and I can't be righteous and be a sinner at the same time.
All right. So Joyce Meyer, she says, I'm not poor, I'm not miserable, and I'm not a sinner. The Bible says I'm righteous, and I can't be righteous and a sinner at the same time. Now, this ought to tell you something, and it ought to alarm you. This tells you she is not properly trained in any kind of Christian theology whatsoever. She is a Word of Faith prosperity heretic. Okay, this is one of the false doctrines that runs rampant through prosperity Word of Faith heretics. Okay, now I would just quote against her, such things as like 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him, that's God, a liar, and his word is not in us.
Now, some of the proponents do believe Jesus was the Son of God in his earthly life, but that at the cross he ceased being the Son of God.
He could have helped himself up until the point where he said, I commend my spirit into your hands. At that point, he couldn't do nothing for himself anymore. He had become sin. He was no longer the Son of God. He was sin.
This is blasphemy.
Do you know something? The minute that blood sacrifice was accepted, Jesus was the first human being that was ever born again. Now, it was sealed. I mean, it happened when he was in hell. Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Here comes the sun. Sunday morning. God gets himself together. Ho-ho. Justice has been met. Somehow the thing's been taken care of. And oh, God gets his voice together. And he hollers out three words. And they go roaring through the universe and entering the gates of hell. He said, it is enough. It is enough. devil thought he had it. The devil thought he'd won. Oh, they were having the biggest party that'd ever been had. They had my Jesus in the floor, and they were standing on his back, jumping up and down laughing, and he had become sin. Don't you think that God was pacing, wanting to put a stop to what was going on? All the hosts of hell were up on him. Up on him. Up on him. The angels are in agony. All the creation is groaning. All the host of hell was upon him. Up on him. They got on him. They got him down in the floor and got on him. And they were laughing and mocking. Ah, ha, 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 ha. You trusted God, and look where you ended up. You thought he'd save you and get you off that cross. He didn't. Ha, ha, ha.
Where in God's Word do you find any such scenario as that? And how do you like that reference to God as, oh God? Wow. That ought to send shivers up you now. Oh God, pacing up and down. God finally got it together. And then I turn on TV and I see an arena and I see the herd. And I understand just how bad things are in this day. We'll hear more about that later from my own sister, who is where she ought to be now, but she went Pentecostal. Now, not every Pentecostal is there, but what you're seeing here is a demonstration of something that is horrifying and horrible. You are hearing from a woman, and they had a big conference in town this weekend. They have these conferences everywhere. And they're a ball of worms. Word of faith. I've known of that heresy. I never dreamed it would go mainstream. It was so bad. Word of faith. Now it's called New Apostolic Reformation. Bethel Church. Bill Johnston. Word of faith. Prosperity preachers, the Joel Osteens, all these people caught up with it. I've got this handout available for you, for any who want to stay safe. It'll be outside. If we need more, we'll get them, bring them next Sunday. But this handout describes for you, it gives you resources where if you want to stay safe, you can go. Experts. We need experts. You're not an expert. Even I'm not an expert. I'm expert in a lot of things. But I know to go to experts. Let me tell you what these people are teaching. You'll listen to them and you may go a good while and you won't hear anything that you recognize as untruth. There's a problem. And as pointed out here, those who are familiar with Mormon doctrine will notice that there are many similarities, the word of faith theology. I'm about to give it to you. Joel Osteen considers Mormons as Christians. I'll itemize some of their theology, show you what we're up against. Adam was an exact duplicate of God. What? Adam sinned, lost his deity, and transferred it to Satan. Where is that? What wall is that coming off of? You know, I thought God was sovereign sure as heck. Well, God has been kicked off this planet, that is, from exercising power on this earth. Really? For Satan is the legal god of planet earth. This is new apostolic reformation stuff involving these word of faith people and all that. 5, when a person gets saved, they get their deity back. Yeah. Oh, now maybe you understand. They get their deity back. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, he was just merely human like we are. And so when you get the fullness of the Spirit. You can do what Jesus did. You have the same power. And that's why you can be called little gods. And they call themselves little gods. So we can speak things into existence, they believe, because we are reproduced according to the kind, the image of God in the Godhead. We are little gods. And as you will see, and we've got this out there for you, this compilation of truth about the Word of Faith movement. Let me tell you a little about this. You know Benny Hinn? Has anybody not heard of Benny Hinn? Well, he's a protege of Catherine Kuhlman. I had a cousin come to Christ under Catherine Kuhlman. But people have come to Christ in all kinds of crazy sources, but she was an immoral woman. Well, Benny Hinn's nephew, his name is Costi, C-O-S-T-I. He got saved. He's out of that. And he, with the help of others, has had some things to say, and this is a compilation of the truth about the Word of Faith movement. In fact, Costi wanted my books. I sent them all to him. As I see this stuff, it has just distressed me no end. And I'm tired as heck, emotionally tired. Thankfully, the Lord caused this to show up just when it did, so that I can alert you and be ahead of the game a little bit and not so much behind it. Now, what I want to do in the rest of this message, I want to show you from the Scriptures the warnings that are there, and you'll find them very interesting. Secondly, I want to differentiate between what is merely defective teaching and teachers and what is dangerous or devilish or demonic teaching. How do you know the difference? A lot of teaching can be defective. It's not toxic. But some of it is heresy, and heresy is lethal. And then I want to close with a testimony. And by the way, did I tell you we've got many people around here who have backgrounds in this kind of stuff. Our own Brian, raised in it. He knows. Had a man in the first service said, thank you. I came out of that. Thank you. You're so right. Well, let's talk about redundant warnings, false teachers. I'm not going to use all of them. I don't have time. I hardly have time to do what I plan to do. But I want to, first of all, go to Jesus. It's a good place to start. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23, and also in Matthew 24, 24, Jesus tried to forewarn the church because he knew it would be a problem. It's always been a problem. It's just intensifying today. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. And you'd get the impression that these are people who are going to come storming in and tell us all these things. And, oh, gee, I know that's not true. That's terrible. No, they're much more subtle than that. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Did you hear it, folks? They don't come to you in wolf's clothing. They come to you all gussied up, looking like sheep, sounding like sheep. But inwardly, Jesus says, they're ravenous wolves, and they are. You will know them by their fruits. I will pass over that. You do know them by their fruits. I'll give you one quick example. 20 years ago, we had what we then called harbor groups. We had a group over here. They wanted me to come. They had a lady in, and she was a prophetess. Jim. She is so good. She tells us things that she couldn't know. So can a psychic. Every one of that group was lost to the truth. Every single one. And they lost their interest in the Word of God because they had found the Spirit through this lady prophetess. Jesus says, furthermore, now get this, in the same passage, skipping over a little bit there about fruits, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about people who appear in his name. They stand where I'm standing. And they're, Lord, Lord, people, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus says, not every one of those folks is going to enter the kingdom. Well, they sound so sincere, so godly. Jesus says, I'm going to tell you who's going to make the cut. Those who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Oh, I thought it was by faith. That's what he's talking about. Faith follows. And those who through faith get up and they follow after the Lord Jesus. Now, many of these people will say on that day, now listen carefully, listen carefully. They will say on the last day, Lord, Lord, Jesus, Jesus, people, did not we prophesy in your name? Didn't you hear us? Don't you remember it? And in your name, oh yes, oh this is exciting stuff, thrilling stuff for Christian thrill seekers. And in your name we cast out demons. And Jesus says, they will say, and in your name we performed many miracles. It can happen. You remember Pharaoh's magicians imitated Moses on three of them? There's more. And Jesus doesn't even bother to contradict them. Do you notice that? Do you notice that? Jesus says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You didn't follow me. You got into that Reformation sucking up all that money like the mafia, all flowing to the top and going out and buying airplanes, living in $10 million mansions and all that kind of. I'm not about that. One of the ways these cultic people gain traction with people is because of a couple of things, more than a couple, because they pray on that sense that I want more. And two, it's the Christian thrill seeker thing. They claim to have found ways and actually techniques for accessing the supernatural and performing signs and wonders. And they claim to get on a prophetic channel. This conference they had this week, which was sponsored, it was with this Bethel thing. They invited people. I know Brian showed it to me. In print. They invited people if they would sign up, put their money down and sign up to go to this conference. They invited, if you don't believe me, ask Brian, have him show it to you. That if you'll sign, then here's what you will get as a reward. Commercializing the gift of prophecy. Then you will get a 15-minute, I believe it was, personal session of prophecy. You can just gen it up. I've been almost trembling this week getting into this stuff. I mean, literally. I told Elsie, I'm trembling. It so torques my spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. The apostle was warning the church about itinerant teachers posing as apostles with divine authority like himself. Listen to this. For such men are false, meaning fake, apostles. Did you hear me? This new apostolic reformation. Do you know these people? At the top, they all claim to be apostles. What is an apostle? One who saw the resurrected Christ. There are no other apostles. There never will be. But to gain authority over people, they go around and claiming that they are apostles. And there's a whole network of them. There's a book written about this by Pentecostals. And they are not totally unsympathetic, but they do reveal a lot of the garbage. It's called the rise of network Christianity. Such men are false apostles. Paul said there were going to be in his day, there were going to be people who rise up and they will claim the same authority as Matthew, John, you know, the apostle Paul. Claim the same authority. And these people do. They're deceitful workers and they disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder this happens, he says. We should not be surprised at this. Not be surprised at all. Why? For even Satan disguises himself, do you see it, as an angel of light. See, they come on with milk. I bring you the bread of life. And you have some. I bring you bread. Oh, Jesus, 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 get over it. Horrifying. Horrifying. Now, how do you know who's defective and who's downright toxic, dangerous to devilish? I'll run through these quickly. First of all, if anybody disputes the integrity and the final authority of the scriptures in all matters of faith and practice, you're attacking the foundations of the faith. That teacher's not just defective. That teacher is devilish. I had a woman in this church, got caught up with this Bethel group, still is. Gone. She sat in my office and looked me in the eye. I don't cry much these days, but I could have. And she said, I don't like to read. Why I need the Bible? I've got the Holy Spirit. She's gone. I don't like to read. Why do I need the Bible? I've got the Holy Spirit. She and another lady that used to be in this church, destroying their whole families. And they don't know it. If anyone downgrades the person of Jesus Christ, did you hear me? Downgrades the person of Jesus Christ. That's not a fringe issue. That's a fundamental issue. It's deviant and it's demonic. We just saw that. Why is that so serious? Why is that not academic? Look, folks, I don't care if we differ over mode of baptism. I don't care. I'm being a little hyperbolic here. I don't care if we're baptized in water or orange juice or ink. I'm not going to break fellowship over that. I don't care if we baptize you three times forward or dunk you once. I'm not going to fuss so much about church order, that is, how a church is organized and run. Oh, I have deep convictions about all these things. But no, I'm not going to do that. But there are certain things, man, we're not going there. And when you downgrade the person of Jesus Christ, you've destroyed the faith. You can say, Jesus, 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 Lord, Lord, all you want to. But you have just left the Christian faith when you go there. Do you understand? And do you know why? Because, my dear friends, a merely human Jesus cannot die and atone for your sins. But wasn't he human? It's a mystery. Paul said, in him was the fullness of the Godhead, the fullness of deity in the body. You have destroyed the foundation of the Christian faith when you go there. You can say Jesus from now until hell freezes over. But you've destroyed the Christian faith. You've not only destroyed, you've destroyed the Trinity. You no longer have a Trinitarian conception of God, which is the biblical conception. You've taken all the Christian creeds historically and you've thrown them out the window. And people say, oh, well, it's all academic. Oh, no. You will act the way you believe and the fruits will show up. You cannot go there. You cannot go there. If anyone exalts, get this, the Holy Spirit above the person of Jesus, makes worship center around the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. Oh, we believe in the Holy Spirit, trust me. But if anyone does that, then they've reversed the biblical role of the Holy Spirit and they've detracted, which is exactly what Satan wants, detracted from the glory of the Son of God. Where do I get that? John 16, verses 13 through 14, where Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come, and he said when the Holy Spirit will come, he will glorify himself. No, 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 no. The Holy Spirit will do what? He will glorify me, and he'll teach you all the things that I've taught you. But some have gotten into this mode whereby their evangelism is about selling the Holy Spirit and supernatural works and all that kind of thing. What a detour. Anyone who perverts the gospel message that summons people to repentance from sin and to taking up their crosses and following after him, not taking up all their money and building great big houses and kingdoms for themselves, but taking up their crosses, that's suffering, and following after him. And gives them instead a narcissistic message. It's all about us. Your best life now. You've got to be kidding. That makes God all about us. Here is me. And all heaven swirls about me, me, me. No, folks, we swirl about him, him, him. But that's Joel Osteen. This is totally subjective, has nothing to do with that, but I don't have any idea how anybody could watch a man that bats his eyes more than a hummingbird bats its wings and be clear. I don't get it. Where's our discernment? They say you can't judge a person by their appearance. You can't a lot of the time. I'm sorry. At least I can. And I'll be right most of the time. Anyone who teaches a plan of salvation that is on any other basis than by God's grace through faith alone in Christ alone, you just heard from the devil. What'd the Apostle Paul say? In Galatians, two times, these were people who were preaching Jesus. They were called Judaizers. Folks, they were preaching Jesus. They said he was the Messiah. Hey, he's the Messiah. They gotta be good. That's milk. Oh man, that is milky. They're with us. It's just an academic difference. Yeah, they were saying, but you need to become Jews. And start keeping the ritual regulations of the law. Is that serious? It transfers the basis of faith. From by grace through faith alone, don't take my word for it, twice in that space, the Apostle Paul says they're accursed. They're damned. That's why we have written on that triangle out there a church where people care, and I'm caring for you right now. And truth matters. And boy, it matters a lot. It matters a lot. Well, when people clearly profane the sacred, we saw that, trash the holy, we don't have to wonder where that came from. That's not bad taste. That reflects a godless heart. That's bad. When you get up before talking about, oh God, running around wringing his hands, does it offend you when somebody takes the name of Jesus in vain? That's taking God's name in vain. In the worst way. It's abhorrent. Well, I want to read you something. There's so much more I got to say, but next week, I want you to know before I read this letter from my sister, got it last night. I would have printed it off. I was up at 4:30 working. I just haven't had time to do it. But I want you to know that next week I'm going to deal with that question, because it's my sister's question right here. That question, but surely there's got to be more. That's a very, very, very dangerous mentality. I'll explain why. Jimmy, my sis writes, I just want to add some of the initial thoughts I had about when I went Pentecostal for many years. My own sister. I remember listening to Joyce Meyer, and I heard her use the phrase, "There has to be more." That phrase didn't originate with me, but I shared the longing she described. When I first went to a Pentecostal church, John A., I know the guy's name, was the pastor, and he was a guardian of good doctrine and kept things in line and in order with biblical truth. He was the higher grade of that movement. He was Reformed, that is, Reformed in his theology, which made him a rare commodity. I maintain a dear friendship with him and his wife to this day. He has read some of the papers I have written. I've got a great one she's written. It's not finished. It's a rough draft. But boy, is it informative. About some of this crazy prayer stuff. Healing prayer. Oh, gee. He has read some of the papers I've written since entering the post-Pentecostal world. He and his wife have encouraged me to keep on because they believe they're on target. He believes in the gifts being available to believers today. We don't completely agree on that, but we don't disagree completely either. The pastor who came to that church, here's where things get ugly, after John was there, in my opinion, was reckless with doctrine. Yes. You've heard me describe his excesses, parenthesis, as to prophecy and prayer, and his lack of teaching believers. It was all about prophecy, healing, prayer, etc. I was surrounded in that church by people who believed in all that to the max. As I watched over time, I didn't see even 1 year's genuine healing, but everyone still believed that they would. People were prayed for, not only for physical maladies, but for alcoholism, abuse, and more. Words were given to me, my sister says, and many others, about exciting works we would do for God. In fact, they even told my sister a exciting work that God would do for her. Within 1 year, God has told me, you're going to have a husband. It's the longest year in the history of man. It's been at least 20. Wow! They were exciting. Christian thrill-seeking. Nobody seemed to notice. Nothing was really lastingly changing for anyone in the fellowship. One girl mentioned to me at a meeting where words, means prophetic words, were being given, that I, my sister, should wear red because the prophets could spot us more easily. She says. People who experienced a notable work of the Spirit, not one emerged from their experience. Notice not one. Emerged from their experience with a greater passion for the gospel or a greater love for the people of God. What developed instead was that people who had been slain in the Spirit were often quickly promoted into some form of leadership. Tiers, T-I-E-R-S, she means, tiers of spiritual competence. Those who had the Spirit and those who didn't began to fall into place, Janie says. Just as in the corporate world, people seem to fall in line behind those thought to be the most gifted in hopes of arriving to such a spot before long. My reading, interacting with other Pentecostals, even in other states, listening to many sermons, going to a healing meeting led by a well-known Pentecostal healer, an apostle, and sifting through all the scripture led me out of that teaching and to personal repentance. I'm so thankful for the patience God has shown through the mercies of Jesus. The body is being misled. My prayer is that my experience can help others into the truth. That's my prayer. So, folks, go back to that word from the pastor. That's our final word. Thank you for your patience in listening. Going a little overtime here. But I told myself, I'm going to finish this one. Too often I get to the end and I start shaving. I said, this needs to be said and I'm going to say it. So I have done it. And I trust the Spirit of God is in it. Remember that out there after you leave, there are some of these handouts. There are not enough, perhaps, of those, I think they're DVDs, that I showed you here. If you can sign up and get one if you want to, you really ought to read it. And you may have others, friends and others, that you don't need it so much as they need it. And it may be an awakening to them. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful, so thankful that your Spirit leads us, guides us, teaches us through the Word. We are so thankful that the Word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and goes down to the pit of the conscience. And you lead us and guard us and guide us and rebuke us and correct us. Deliver us, Heavenly Father, from false teachers and false doctrines. Give us hearts that are not Christian thrill seekers. Deliver us, our Father, from being ignorant of the Word and being unstable and getting carried away. We pray that in the end of the day, the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in our lives and in this church through your Spirit working through the Word. In his name we pray. Amen.